Welcome back, everybody, to the third episode of Mulder, It's Us, an X-Files podcast with Candy and Jen. I'm Jen.
I'm Candy.
Yes, my good friend and co-host, back for another discussion about the season 10 X-Files. We're going to talk about episode 1, My Struggle, and episode 2, Founder's Mutation. All right, let's just jump in. Overall, what'd you think?
I thought good things.
You thought good things.
I thought good things.
I like that.
I do have specifics, of course. Yeah. I have lists and things.
Yeah, yeah. Overall impression, though.
Overall impression was it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I could not be happier about hearing the X-Files music for, like, brand new in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the tingles. That was pretty great. And then I have questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, they did. I'm intrigued and like I want to know what's going to happen and all of these things. So overall, good. How about you?
Overall, really good. I am so excited. I will say the episodes benefited from a second watch of each only because, like with you know, when I went to see the new Star Wars, I was so anxious and so excited and my expectations were so high but I was trying to keep them in check and I was trying to like stay calm, don't get too excited, don't get, you know, too emotional. And I was overthinking everything as I was watching it. So it was, to me, just letting the experience happen, you know, for the second time and actually really, and plus, you know, picking up on the subtlety of certain things. But I absolutely loved it. When I heard the music and when I saw the original opening,
I know.
I was like, thank you.
It's so good.
I was like, they didn't.
I'm going to say a lot.
I know. I mean, like, how cool is it that they did not even change, like, their badge photos?
I know. Especially since, you know, in the later episodes of the show, they did.
Yeah.
There were some changes to the opening. So I was real excited about that.
Yeah.
Before we get into specific things, I do need to say I already wrote this like all over the internet.
Okay.
Because I'm super upset about my TV cred. I made a huge error last week.
Oh God.
Adam Baldwin was not on Battleship. He was on The Last Ship on TNT, which I don't believe they're making new ones anymore, but it is on demand. So
it is so funny.
TV fail. Yes. I'm so sorry, universe.
It's okay. I haven't read any hate mail yet.
Right. Although I did ask people on Tumblr today. I said, you know, if you have any questions, you want to tell us we're awesome, you want to tell us we're a-holes, let me know. Go ahead. Let me know. So I haven't received that yet. So
yeah.
I feel okay about it.
That was always my least favorite stuff when we did our other podcast. Fortunately, Josh was the one who received all the voicemails and the emails, and he was the one who would be nice enough to filter out, like, all of the absurd, you know, nitpicky critique. And, like, you said this, it was that.
Ouch, yeah, yeah.
Ow, yeah, sorry. I am human and not paid.
And not paid. So
things
happen.
Yes, yes, yes. So yes, I was so excited, so happy to see them. And I thought they did a really good job. I liked that these two episodes were so close to one another because, you know, the pilot or the premiere of season 10 did such a great job of kind of catching everybody up to speed. Like that opening montage when he's flipping through photos and you see Jones and you see the worm guy, the fluke worm, and like you see all this stuff. I got so excited. So it was really smart, I thought, because it was done in a way that wasn't like so heavy handed that you're like, oh God. Like, you know, it's been 14 years since it's been off the air. So even people who were diehard fans back then might not remember all the details if they didn't have a chance to rewatch it. And then people who may have seen it casually or never watched it but knew of it and they're excited to see this, they were brought right up to speed.
Really simply and very straightforward. Yeah. This is the things that are important, and here it is.
Right. And then that the first episode, you know, played like, you know, the theme was the overarching mythology of, you know, essentially with the few tweaks, which we'll talk about. But then the second one starts off and kind of feels like a mystery of the week, but it really ties into everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's a lot to cram into six episodes. And I think they're doing really great job.
Yeah, I think they're doing really, really well. I expect it to just get better. And with only six episodes, you know, some of them have said, you know, there's going to be two or three Monsters of the Week and two mythology episodes or whatever. But it does seem like they're going to touch on the mythology just a bit, at least in each episode, because they kind of have to. I mean, that's why they're back.
Exactly.
So I think it's we're going to get just enough information. And the thing in the opening with him speaking over those photos, people who maybe didn't watch the first run might not know that that's actually very common. There were many episodes where she narrated or he narrated and they spoke to each other that way. So it actually fit. It worked perfectly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It felt really good. It felt really good. I was pleasantly surprised, and my expectations were absolutely met.
I was a little, so in the first episode, which doesn't help that I had the same problem a lot of people had, which was I recorded it and I missed half because of football. So I did end up having, I watched it on demand the next day. The first episode felt a little off to me, but I think, talk about getting back in the swing of things. And Gillian Anderson has said it took her, you know, a little while to kind of get back into the character, and things are very different. They have aged, you know, 14 years, and they're in very different places, and he looked so tired.
He did look tired. But his jokes were so good, and one of the criticisms that really bugged me that I did read was like, oh my God, they've aged so much. Nobody's immune to aging.
I mean,
that is such an offensive complaint.
Like, how dare the years pass?
I know, right? And so that bothered me. And but again, on second watch, it felt more like two people reuniting and just getting to know each other. So yeah, like maybe things were a little slow and stilted in the beginning, but that's going to happen. I mean, you don't see somebody in a while, or you have a long distance relationship after having such an intense, amazing relationship. It's just, it's going to take a little time, you know, you got to get back into it.
Yeah. A little strained and for whatever baggage you might have, time does tend to make things a little weird.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very, very, true and real and normal. I will say in regards to them aging, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it's on my mind. So I'm just going to do it. I think Mulder looks the way so here's the thing. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson are basically the same age as their characters. So I understand why Mulder is a little kind of
scruffy
and drawn, because he's depressed and he's in this house by himself. And like, what does his life mean now? And I get that.
Right.
Scully. Two things. One, I hate her wig. I actually think it makes her look older than she is. I think there's something about it that makes her face look a little drawn. And we know that she's gorgeous and she looks amazing. So I feel like for some reason between that and whatever she's doing with her voice, make her seem older than she is. And knowing that that's not her voice and knowing that her voice isn't kind of that low and a little gravelly.
Right.
Threw me off a little bit, and maybe that's one of the reasons that the first episode felt a little off kilter for me, because I've been watching so much with them talking and all these live interviews and all these things, and then her voice was very, very different than what I expected.
Yeah, and I can see that, and I think part of it, you know, the reuniting and the newness of, you know, getting to know each other again, and like, do they really want to, you know, get back into this? To me, it felt like just exhaustion, like exhaustion from life, exhaustion from, you know, everything that they'd been through, everything they've given up, everything that they've lost over the 14 years. I mean, they lost a lot.
You're making me sad.
I know. Well, I was so sad, and that's part of it. And I was like, again, the first time I watched it, I was a little annoyed at her, because I felt like she was just willfully denying any possibility of things that she was at least halfway open-minded to before. But then watching the second one, and then rewatching the first one again, and rewatching the second one, it's like, oh, this is a woman who, you know, it's not just the years, it's like, you know, she gave up her son, she gave up her partner,
right?
She gave up all these things, and she just had to go back to a so-called normal life and to just open up be open to the possibility of all of this stuff that only is going to lead to another world of hurt.
Right. She opening that door, very apprehensive. Yeah. And I can definitely see that coming across in her voice and her mannerisms.
Right. And her reluctance to, like, admit, you know, Well, here, you want to just go through, how do you want to do it? You want to do it chronologically, or do you want to go by character or story?
I guess let's start by, let's go through chronologically.
Okay.
To begin. The first episode, so my favorite moment in the first episode was Mulder in the ARV and how excited and how happy mm-hmm. he was. And it actually was very reminiscent of Jurassic Park to me, that yeah. moment where they first see
the dinosaurs.
And
yes.
I was very excited and I big smiles.
Yes.
That was probably my favorite moment.
Yes.
Of the first episode.
In yes. So like you could see a spark, like a reignition of a spark in him, you know, like, yes, he was depressed. Yes. He's been, you know, holed up in this tiny little house for some reason, you know, like, I don't need to know exactly why that was the decision and it stuck, but he just was. So that was really exciting to see. I loved when they're in the limo together and they have that little dialogue. And
it's completely unspoken.
Yeah. But I mean, like, some things were said, but not heavy-handed and not in a mean way. It's like, we've both moved on from a lot of things, mm-hmm. for better or worse. And then that look he just gives her and... I don't know. It just felt very real.
And, mm-hmm. and she excused him. You'll have to excuse him, which was very, come on, Mulder.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to have to excuse him.
Exactly.
I do hope that, kind of veering a little bit, but I do hope that we see her smile.
Yeah.
Because
like
she
a real
just
smile.
Had, yeah, she just has the best smile. Yeah. And, and as Scully, when she smiles at Mulder when he mm-hmm. says something funny or whatever, it's...
Yeah.
Just good stuff, and yeah. I hope we see that.
Well, I mean, they had a couple of fun little exchanges. She's like, Uber? He's like, hitchhiked. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, just little things like that. And again, it's not a big thing. It's just familiar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it feels like, okay, yeah, they're going to pick up again slowly, but this is how it's going to go. And
yeah, which, true to form.
Yes.
I think they're doing a very, very good job of reality. I mean, if mm-hmm. I felt kind of uncomfortable or maybe like it wasn't totally X-Files in that first episode, mm-hmm. well, that makes sense. Isn't that kind of how you feel when you see someone you haven't seen for a really long time and things are awkward and you feel like you're standing in someone else's shoes for a minute?
Exactly. So, it's like, what do you say? You make awkward small talk. So
right. And I trust the writers, like implicitly, and the actors and mm-hmm. Chris Carter. Like, I really do think they're going to do what's right and what's real as mm-hmm. opposed to...
Right.
Maybe what's not.
Wanted.
Right. Maybe what's a little fantastical.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll get a little touch of that at the end. But mm-hmm. okay, so the episode starts off. She gets a call. She's now working at a hospital. She's doing surgery for children who have been born without ears. So she's been at this hospital for several years. And, you know, Skinner calls. Now she's got to go find Mulder. And then they're going to meet this guy, Ted O'Malley. Or Tad, sorry.
Who was okay. I don't think you're supposed to like him.
Yeah.
And I, you know, didn't a whole lot.
But it's so weird. It's like, I didn't dislike him.
Right, right.
I mean.
He wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah. You know? Like, he wasn't necessarily the character that you expect to instantly identify with and instantly rally behind.
Yeah.
Though, you know, like, his zeal to... you know, not only discover, but, you know, expose the truth at any cost.
Right. And to...
was, you know,
the balls to woo Scully after...
I know.
A day of knowing her. Whoa.
That was interesting because when I had this moment, I was like, mental note, did they have a thing? But, you know, then when I watched it again, I'm like, oh, no, he's introducing himself. But he calls her Dana mm-hmm. right away. And then, you know, at another time when they meet up and he said something to the effect, it was worth it to see you. I just wanted to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did have this thing. I'm like, uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I also was immediately when she steps out of the limo when he takes mm-hmm. her, I assume he's taking her like to dinner or something.
I know, because this time she is drinking champagne.
Yes. And he takes her, she steps out to talk to Mulder and then he steps out behind her and puts his hand on her shoulder. And I was like, whoa, she stepped out for privacy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think they probably did exactly what they meant to do because I'm kind of like, ew, guy, what is your ulterior motive?
Yeah. It is interesting because he's a hard one to wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's intentionally so. And
right.
I have not read IMDb. I do not know if he's coming back. Like, I know at the end of it, you know, everybody kind of turned on him and he wasn't able to do the thing. So his blog is gone.
Right.
So his blog and his TV show, gone.
Right. Which was great. Mm-hmm. I hope he comes back. Mm-hmm. Just because I love Joel McHale so much.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's just great. I thought they really rounded out the episode well. Mm-hmm. I thought, again, it seemed like they put a lot into that first hour.
Oh,
but it
yeah.
was just enough of mm-hmm. every detail of what happened. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, she goes on and everything's gone, and then, mm-hmm. you know, Mulder sees the interview with Sveta.
Yeah.
It kind of all happens very, very quickly, but mm-hmm. we got it. This
yeah.
is what happened. They got involved. They know. Mm-hmm. They've been down this road. They know what this means. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I did. That was another thing. The first time they were in the limo with Tad, and I was chuckling because, you know, O'Malley's like, "You're a believer. I'm a believer." And Mulder's like, "No, I only want to believe. All of the evidence seems to just elude me."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That's because it's destroyed right in front of your face and taken away." And so. That cracked me up, and then yeah, to see him like actually touch,
I know,
and see it in action. That was really cool.
And that was the beginning of mm-hmm. everything falling apart. Was the right. government coming in and blowing up
right.
the ship and killing all the
right.
scientists? And that was, you know, I kind of went, oh,
yeah,
no,
okay. So this time they're not mincing words. They're not saying, okay, government is. You know, allowing the aliens to test us. Government mm-hmm. is, you know, supporting possible hybrid and, you know, supporting not the government, but this
group of men
yeah. who apparently hate humanity. So they came right out and said it.
It's men. It's us.
It's the government.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it is the DOD that is specifically abducting humans and doing the testing on them and trying to create an alien hybrid race.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel? Like, do you feel like, wait, no, we were told for the last 9 years or for the first 9 years that it was one thing?
I feel good about it, actually, because I feel like everything that was happening previously with the rebels and these aliens mm-hmm. and what they were doing, et cetera, I do feel like towards the end of the first 9 seasons, they did bring it back mm-hmm. to the government
right.
more. So I kind of like where this is going, because they're not all of a sudden saying, no, aliens don't exist and we were kidding and Mulder's been totally, you know, misled
right.
this whole time. But they're saying it's been much more us mm-hmm. than it has been them this
right.
whole time.
Right.
And I think they're saying mm-hmm. that Mulder had been led to believe it was much more aliens than it was us, just to keep him in his place. You know, there were mm. so many times that they couldn't close the X-Files because I think CSM says, you know, kill Mulder and you turn one man's something into a something.
One man's crusade into...
or one man's journey or into a crusade.
Yeah.
So they kept him in his place and they manipulated him and put him where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what they mean by it, though.
Right.
Not that, nope, no aliens. Also, that alien in the beginning of the episode.
Crawling away?
Could you, I mean, it was like District 9 all over again. I almost started bawling my eyes out. Like, we're horrible.
We are
just horrible.
And I think maybe it's also like, maybe it is a commentary on humanity. Like, we are the, you know, most destructive
mm-hmm.
predator to ourselves.
Right.
To our resources, to our planet, to our world. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, maybe that's it.
We suck. Well, and they did say something about that, didn't they, in the beginning mm-hmm. about them being here to help us, to keep us from destroying ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, we take it and do this horrible thing with their technology and who they are and why they're here.
Right, right.
Which is so E.T. and just so,
yeah.
God, we suck.
Well, and then also stating that it was after the first, you know, H-bomb that was detonated that's what attracted them.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, yes, we are horrible species. So, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But, you know, that's definitely
essentially
out
that
there
was,
for a possibility.
Yeah, that was the underlying vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, there's the very end of the first episode, which I actually have a note here. Because I did know that William Davis was going to be in the show.
Yes.
And my note here after watching the first episode is CSM. What the D with his face, yo. That's what it says. So, of course, it was awesome. I got all excited
right.
when I saw him and he said mm-hmm. they've reopened the X-Files and I got really excited. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was super exploded. So,
blown up, sir.
And,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, we watch his skin be incinerated and, like,
yeah.
peel off his skeleton. So, what I thought I saw, mm-hmm. and he's in shadows, of course, but mm-hmm. you see the burns on his arms. Half of his face is very alien.
Yeah. It's like another tissue surface.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was, you know, he had that brain operation with Mulder and, like, mm-hmm. they took the Mulder thing. So, like, I don't know what that's going to be. I'm going to assume at this point that mm-hmm. it's something to do with him having that hybrid possibility and he came back mm-hmm. in one way or another
right.
because of that.
Right. It could have been, yeah, I mean, he could have regenerative properties
right.
in him.
I mean, he's definitely not a clone because he's not perfect. He does look jacked up.
And he still has the
right
tracheotomy.
Yeah, so he's definitely not a clone. He's definitely right. him. Mm-hmm. But ooh, what happened? It was exciting.
It was interesting because I watched that scene a couple of times to get a total read on his face. There was part of me that was sort of like, all right, this is happening again. We gotta do this. You know, they're opening the X-Files. And then there was a part of me, like, the second time that was like, I think he's a little excited about the challenge.
I know.
They're opening. Well, and also because, as you mentioned in the last episode, you found him to be very sympathetic at moments and very mm-hmm. conflicted and often forced to do not the things he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So there was a part of me that was kind of like, oh, you're enjoying this.
Mm-hmm. Like, the game's afoot.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And yeah. and kind of like, good on you. Let's give this another go.
Right. So, I mean, hey, he has technically, we all thought he was killed like 3 times. So whatever, man, you do you. Like, yeah. you sit in the corner, you smoke through the hole in your throat, and you know, you and Mulder butt heads, and you guys do yeah. what you got to do because
you and your half alien
you've
face.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You literally have the scars.
Exactly.
To prove your worth.
Yeah. And you're the only syndicate member left. So, you know, I kind of give you a little bit of props right. just for surviving this long.
Right. So then the other character that they did introduce and ceremoniously dismissed pretty quickly was Svetka. Am I saying that right? Or Sveta. I think it's S-V-E-T-A.
Yes. And I feel like she might come back too.
Yeah?
I think she may have.
Okay.
Well, because going into the second episode.
Right.
You know, so Scully does tell her. Oh, P.S. spoilers, guys.
Oh.
I mean, that should be pretty obs, right?
I don't think we have time to dance around spoilers.
We do not. There's a lot yeah. going on. You know, so in the first episode, Scully does tell her you have no alien DNA, mm-hmm. but she ran a different kind of panel.
Yeah.
And then tells Mulder in the second episode.
No, it's actually still the end of the first one.
Oh, was it still the end of the first
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
That, you know.
And only because I watched it again today.
Right. So I do think she'll end up being mm-hmm. back, especially since Tad O'Malley just, like, disappeared. And,
right.
And she totally recanted, but Mulder's not going to let that go.
Right.
You know?
No. I mean, and she was really interesting, and I liked the way that they introduced her. Because, mm-hmm. again, short time, lot of info, get it covered.
Yeah.
And it was done, I thought, kind of in a very organic way. Like, mm-hmm. here, I need you to meet somebody. She's been, you know, air quotes, abducted. She's been taken. And, you know, she has the scars from testing. And, you know, she's been pregnant, but then the babies have been taken away. And it's, you know, and like the way she's not challenging Scully, but looking for an ally, like knowing that there's an ally deep down in her.
Yeah.
But unwilling on the surface. And again, that on second watch, that's when I like started to think about, like, okay, so what has Scully been through? What has she given up? What has she lost? And, you know, yeah, of course, no, she's going to be aggressively denying everything.
Right. And even denying and also just like, ugh, I just can't. Like,
yeah.
I can't deal.
Yeah.
I've dealt enough.
Once I open up, you know, my right. mind to the possibility and, you know, actively speak about the possibilities and then get involved with it, it's all just going to start
right.
over again.
Although I loved when Sveta was reading her mind.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, you don't know what it's like to be taken, whatever. And Scully just leans in and looks at her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what she's thinking. And she yep. goes, oh, well, maybe
yeah.
you do.
And then
I thought that was fantastic.
And then, yeah, she brings up Mulder and Scully gets really rough with the needle. I'm like, dude, that's a little harsh.
But also miss you, Scully.
Yeah.
Miss you so
yeah.
much.
Scully still has teeth. I like it. She's not a pushover.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it really it just churned all these emotions. I'm like, and you know, like just, I, again, it made it more understandable as to why she was resisting. But I do, it does make me kind of like, so if she had, I'm not going to say been honest, because I do think she was confused by the initial blood results. Mm-hmm. I think if Scully had not like just flatly, you know, proclaimed that there was no alien DNA in her.
Right.
Things may not have gone down the way they did. O'Malley right. might have still been able to do his thing. She wouldn't have now felt, maybe I'm crazy and, you know, this is why I'm going to back down and say that he paid me to say these things. And and then, you know, the alien, air right. quotes, spaceship
right.
blows up her car.
Oh.
It's like, like, oh.
And speaking of the blood, the test results, I will say that I did notice this right away. Of course, everything's very modern. Everything's today. Everything looks like today. But everything also looks very futuristic to me. Not very, but slightly. You know, the page that she gets back with the DNA results, and she's got, you know, all the DNA markers. You know, remember years ago, it was film.
Right.
And she had to put it up to an X-ray light
box.
And you
had, like,
you had to see it. Right. And now she's got this beautiful glossy printout. And even her Scully scrubs are a little sleeker, you know, a little... And just the way they look, and it's not that that isn't what it looks like now.
Right.
It is, the future actually really kind of is here.
Yeah.
You know, the future that we've seen in science fiction for 60 years kind of is here now.
Right.
And I definitely noticed the huge difference just these last, you know, 14, 15 years, what actually has changed and has happened and has come about, which they do play with on the show, and I'm sure that's on purpose. I'm sure the lighting and, like, everything's super sleek and whatever is part of that, but I noticed that with the blood results immediately.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that part I didn't catch. But now I'm going to be looking for that. Well,
that's because I look at things like pieces of paper and file folders.
Well, yeah.
Super important to me.
I get that. I totally get that. Okay, well, is there anything else about my struggle that
I don't
think
so. No, I think that's...
Yeah.
Although I did feel like there were also too many pencils stuck in the ceiling of the X-Files
office. It felt like I couldn't tell if it was the angle they were shooting it from. But it did feel like, all right, guys.
Way too many
come
pencils.
On.
It was like six pencils.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to seeing it from, you know, down below, and you look up and, you know, they're... coming at you as opposed to like looking at them sideways, but
through them,
but it is kind of funny because I mean, like, those are exactly the type, and I can't even call them Easter eggs because they're not even remotely hidden, but I just thought that was really a beautiful touch.
It was.
It's like they didn't forget.
No,
then none of it. They know all of it. I think the only other character who was introduced and we may see again is the doctor. The doctor who was there in 47 and the doctor, so it's the same guy.
Who
Scully met and then, I'm sorry, who Mulder met. And then he was essentially saying that, you know, you have the what, you have the when, now you have to figure out the why.
Right.
And they do, I guess, eventually get to that because now they're saying it's the DOD and, you know, they're trying to take over the world and that was going to be O'Malley's speech. But the doctor was interesting because, I mean, he clearly, they had flashbacks and they show him actually performing the same experiments on people's abdomen, removing tissue samples.
Right.
As Sveta did. So I'm curious. I think I'd like to see him again.
I do too. And I think he's going to be that character, that kind of the deep throat, the X,
exactly.
Talks to them and kind of gives them little bits and pieces of information while keeping as much to himself as possible because he's trying to, you know, not die.
Yeah.
You know, because it happens to the people in those positions.
Exactly. They step outside and they all, like, look up, look down, look around. You know, they've seen a lot of crap go down.
Yeah.
They know.
He was adorable.
Yeah.
And I actually found it interesting going back to the beginning with him, that the man who brings him to the crash site in Roswell kind of seems to be a man in black, which is very interesting because supposedly the men in black didn't really come into being
existence.
A thing until after the crash. And,
that's true.
You know, the FBI hadn't even really,
wasn't
really a thing yet. So it's very interesting that guy seems to be a man in black.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I think he'll be back too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he looked recognizable. I didn't look him up again because there's so many people and I'm you know, I spoil so many things. Like you said, you did. You looked at IMDb and you saw the cast list. So I didn't want to do too much digging. I figure, you know, I can wait another 4 weeks and figure out who this guy is. But I feel like I know him from something. Like I feel like I've seen him in something, and that is significant. Maybe
I don't know. I mean, he definitely looks like some other actors I can think of. I also at first thought he was the guy in the final two seasons of The X-Files who was...
Spender?
No. Oh. He was like the guy like that worked with Doggett, kind of for Doggett. Doggett was in charge. And
he turns out
to be a super soldier. For a second, I thought it was him. Okay. In the very beginning. It's not. But for he looks like that guy if that guy was a little older.
Right.
So... Yeah, he has a very familiar look, and maybe that's the point. Maybe, you know, the Men in Black, you're not supposed to really remember what's happening and who's there and what they're telling you. Maybe they kind of all look alike. I don't know.
They get their memories rebooted every now and then as necessary.
They just keep coming back and that's doing so what funny. They do. Yeah. Okay, so the second episode.
Let's do it.
Which I loved. I have to say that I don't think I felt it was like I was watching The X-Files really until... Actually, I'm going to go to my blog because I reblogged this. Mulder says something about Goldman's eyes popping out of his head. You know? I blacked out after his eyes popped out.
I stopped paying attention to
that. You can't unsee that. That moment is when I felt like, okay.
Oh, he's got his mojo back.
It's X-Files, man. Yeah.
He's got his sassy swagger. He has purpose. He has, you know, a mission again. And, you know, he has his X-Files. He has his partner back. I think
he felt like him.
Yeah. And then definitely the second episode had more energy and felt, you know, like, okay, we're doing this.
Yes.
For real.
Yes. And I think they kind of, you know, they're starting to fall back into their old rapport, their old positions with each other, who does what, who says what, who thinks what. Mm-hmm. You know, awesome that Doug Savant was in. Am I saying it right? I think I am.
Yeah, sounds good.
You know, because like Melrose Place, yeah.
Absolutely. I did think of that, but then I instantly went to Desperate Housewives.
right.
But I've always been a huge fan of his. Mm-hmm. He's kind of one of these actors who's I think a bit underrated.
I agree.
He's so good in every, like he's usually the best thing on the screen, especially in Desperate Housewives. He was like the best thing on the screen most of the time. And yet he was just never really, you know, given the accolades. Oh yeah, listen.
Listen to that sweet wine pour.
Look. Okay. And I, again, the thing that I liked about this is it had the feel and the storytelling nature of a mystery of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But it still all ties together.
Yes.
And it was so good.
And, you know, and he is so great as a bad guy, too. Yeah. He's always great as kind of this cold, bad, villainy type.
He's so earnest.
He believes it, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. He believes, you know, this is the right thing to do, you know, all those experiments. But, okay, again, spoilers. Those poor children.
Right.
They're not holding back. Actually, there were a couple of scenes that like really made me squirm in this episode. I was like, oh, wait, yes, I forget. They're kind of like mini horror films at times.
Right, absolutely. And that was one of the things I think I posted about last night was I really appreciate the level of blood.
Yeah.
And the gross out factor was like right where it should be. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. But it was kind of like, we're back. Yeah. I'm going to cut this baby out of my belly and we're all going to bleed from our eyeballs.
Yeah.
And baby's going to crawl out all by a damn self.
It's like, okay, fine. One second you're grossed out and the other second you're going, aw, baby. Okay.
Old dude's got it. He's going to be fine.
So in this particular episode, it starts with a scientist who is being plagued by ear-piercing, brain-numbing, high-pitched sounds. And it's slowly driving him insane. It's not a constant thing, but it's like a progressive thing, and it's driving him insane to the point where he can't take it anymore. And he works for a company that's basically...
Neurogenics.
Yeah. And the quote unquote, the founder, who is Dr. Goldman. And which is kind of funny because they keep calling him the founder. And I'm like, Are you calling him God?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a moment where I was searching for the name Founder's Mutation because I wanted to make sure I was writing it right before I posted something. And you know what popped up in my search?
What?
Founder's Day from Eureka. And I thought, this makes me so happy. There's these two things. I think it was on Tumblr. I was like, there's these two things.
Oh, that's so
Founder's
funny.
Mutation and Founder's Day.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Is he doing? Is he
right?
Is he playing God?
He's playing God.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I didn't know if that was intentional. If there's something else, you know. Obviously, he's the doctor in charge of, you know, stealing or manipulating infants or you know, fetuses so that they will be a, you know, it's another way of creating the human alien hybrid race,
right? Just to fix these things.
Just, yes.
We need to do this to fix this.
We need to work the bugs out so that we can get the superior race.
Right.
So he is the doctor. So he is the, you know, he is in charge of this organization and that this other scientist works at. But he's also funded by the DOD, which we find. So, like, so shady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now we know what they're doing. So the scientist is, you know, plagued with this thing, and the high pitched sound drives him so crazy. He takes a letter opener and punctures his eardrum and then his brain,
and slowly, very
slowly,
because he's doing it in a very precise way. He's purposely doing this and then trying to do this. So, and he's super smart, so he knows what he's doing. It was awesome.
That was like the first time my knees came to my chin and I started rocking. I'm like, oh yeah, they're. They're not gonna slide into this slowly. They're just gonna
and they're back.
Jump right in it. Yeah. And that obviously is enough to get them back together again on another case. And they have a fun little exchange when he steals the cell phone and
yes. Super cute.
Yeah.
And I love when they're in the office with Skinner mm-hmm. and the guy from the DOD is there and he has the files and they're his and they mm-hmm. can have them. And then as soon as the guy leaves, you know, Skinner's like, I assume you made copies. Like, he just knows. Like, this is the drill. This is how it goes. Yeah. Keep investigating. It's the right thing to do.
Right.
I know that you are on top of it.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, crazy fangirl aside moment. How amazing does Skinner look?
I know.
Dude. That was like, wow.
He'd be looking good.
Yes.
And I'm loving his, you know, the beard, which I've seen in the other things he's
done,
but it's just to see the beard, mm-hmm. that salt and pepper beard, sitting over the uh-huh. dress shirt and the tie and mm-hmm. the glasses, like, just was great.
Yeah.
Super great.
He looks good. And he has, like, in some ways, that appearance almost gives him more authority.
Yes.
Like, I don't feel like... I never really felt like he had even the slightest of upper hand with, you know... Mulder and Scully.
No, they're pretty much on the same level.
But now I'm kind of like, it's very, that's a very commanding presence you have, Mr. Skinner.
And also the fact that he's maintained the position and after all the things that did happen with them,
yes,
that he's still there and he's still, I mean, he hasn't moved up in the ranks.
Right.
He's still an assistant director, but he's doing what he does and he's still there. And
but it was pretty funny too, like when in the opening scene of the first episode and the nurse comes in and she's like, you have a phone call. It's assistant director, you know, Skinner from the FBI. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard that title in so long.
Right? Skinner. Yeah. I do love him a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I mean, I love both the actor and the character.
Right.
But yeah, I love Skinner. You know, no matter what happens, I mentioned this in our first kind of description of what we're going to be talking about. He is sexy. Does have that swagger, the way mm-hmm. he walks. I'm going to make a comparison here. We'll see how this goes. To, you know, when in Independence Day, so Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith are walking away from the ship that they uh-huh. just crashed when they come back to Earth.
Right.
And Jeff Goldblum has this, just the way his hips move and his shoulders move and it's very sexy. Skinner has that, which makes me think Mitch has that.
Interesting.
But there's just something about him that's very sexy.
Full disclosure, I've never watched his hips. I did see that in your notes.
Are you saying it's just me?
No.
If anyone else agrees with my hip statement, please let us know.
I'm just saying, you know, I have admired the man, the actor, in many different situations, but this is can't say I ever looked at the hips.
There's a few episodes in the original run where he's just kind of standing, but he stands, and it's like he's a little like cocked to one side.
Yeah,
it's like one hip up, one shoulder down, and there's just it's just kind of sexy,
you know. And I think maybe the issue is I never cared for men's 90s dress wear. The shirts were too blousy.
Yeah.
What the heck with, you know, front pleated pants?
Oh, God. Right? Yeah.
Like, none of it ever worked. I didn't like it then.
The fact that anyone got laid in the 90s, no matter how old you are, is kind of a shock.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't like it then. And watching it now, I'm like, But yes, it was good to see him back.
I'll say one more thing about clothes on Skinner's body, because that's not creepy at all. Speaking of the blousy shirts and everything, he also, for a very long period of time during the original run, had like a very tiny waist and like a nice little triangle shape to him. So like, even though the shirt was kind of ridiculous and the pants were ridiculous, his belt was...
So you're totally envisioning the full V, you know.
A little bit. Narrow. I think he's got a little bit of like a squeezable bubble butt. Mitch Pileggi, I am sorry that I'm creepy. Anyway, he was great on the episode.
Yes. It was fantastic to see the three of them sitting in the room together and then just like dismissing, you know, Mr. like, ooh, I have the files and you can have them. Dude, trust me.
Okay, guy. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. We comply.
Yeah, you have fun playing with those files.
Right. You take that. That's really not going to help you.
Yeah. So, okay. So in this episode, the founder, Dr. Goldman, he's doing these experiments. He's furthering the cause to, you know, create this new race. Also is strongly affiliated with the Catholic hospital that Scully's been working at.
Right.
And, you know, again, most of her patients are children who were born without ears. Maybe this is, you know, a result of some of the experimentation, or maybe this is just also a side effect.
They leave it open. Yeah.
But another thing that they do have at this Catholic church, Catholic hospital, is kind of like a refuge for young, pregnant, runaway women. However, it's not as warm and cuddly and as inviting.
No.
As, you know, they would like you to think.
Yeah, which is way creepier than everything I just said about Skinner. Way creepier.
It is like the yes, the ability to be able to control like that much.
Yeah.
In, you know, in a hospital and so forth. You know, I'm raised Catholic. So it's really, this is, you know, there's raised with what, you know, I was taught, there's raised with, you know, there's also what I believed, what I still believe, and so forth. But just the level of control. And there's nothing scarier than a nun.
No, there is not. And they do, it's a short scene.
Mm-hmm.
They do very little, but you get, you know, moments of the girl asking for help and talking, and really just moments of the nun. And she just flips and says those very creepy, horrible, like man things that are so natural to her. And
passion is the devil's pitchfork. Or what was that line?
I don't know, but it was very unsettling.
Yes.
And it's so fast. And they give you in.
Yeah.
What, a minute?
Yeah.
60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds of a scene. They give you everything you needed, which is this place is not right.
Right.
She's a creepy. Yeah. And this poor girl needs help. This place is terrifying.
Right.
Like, everything you need.
So in this situation, it's hard to say, well, does she know what they're actually doing? Or does she believe that, you know, young pregnant runaways are sinners and, you know, we're doing them a favor, so the least they can do is just stay in this room until they have the babies and shut the heck up, and we're going to give away your babies and all is going to be fine. So it's like, it's hard to say where she stands, because she's interesting. She's an interesting character actor. She's been in a ton and ton of stuff. Actually, was in the original.
She's been
run.
In the original, right? Yes. Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No, you're not. Because I remembered her, and this is the reason I was not afraid to look her up. She was also in Dead Like Me. Which
quirky
little show
okay
from, you know, the early 2000s. I I fell in love with it. It was only ran two seasons. Mm-hmm. It didn't end like the way anybody wanted it to, but I still thought it was fantastic. And she was the crazy office manager in that. Not crazy. Okay. A little crazy, but intense. Right. So yeah, nothing scarier than a nun. And she just like turns on dime. She's all sweet and loving and caring. Yeah. And we're doing a good thing here. And like,
right, men, sex, yeah. Evil, everything's horrible. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very, very, very fast. Yeah. And again, they did do great with the casting. I mm-hmm. really do. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's, again, on screen for what? Two minutes total, maybe?
And she was able to convey so much.
Oh, God, she's so good. And Mrs. Goldman, the doctor's wife, she was fantastic.
She was so good. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I almost felt like, the first time I watched it, I felt like that scene was much longer than it was, I think because I was so drawn into it.
Yes.
And she was fantastic. So, Mrs. Goldman, tell us about Mrs. Goldman.
Well, her husband, who, when she was pregnant with her son, she always felt her daughter, who was a toddler, you know, 4, 5, 2, was a little off, whatever. She can't find her at a party. She goes into the pool. She sees her daughter floating in the pool. She jumps in, and her daughter turns around and looks at her and smiles, and her kid is breathing underwater, and she panics, and she leaves because she knows that he did something to her, and mm-hmm. she's assuming he did something to the baby she's carrying. She's 9 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. She leaves, and that's the first time, actually, in chronologically in timeline, mm-hmm. that horrible high-pitched scream.
Yeah.
Thing happens in her mind, and she knew it was her unborn son talking to her.
Yeah.
So she drives away, she gets into a little bit of a car accident, and then she just figured, you know, this kid wants out, man, mm-hmm. and cuts him out and lets him go, escape into the world, and then she's prosecuted for killing her son, who's never found, and whatever. Ugh. But she is amazing. The second she starts actually speaking, which happens after she throws the apple at the cat, which is great. Scully, so you don't like cats?
Yeah. Mm. But he's like, and Scully's like, I've been sitting here 10 minutes, she hasn't said anything, and it's like,
and then she throws something, just great. And the second she starts speaking, though, the way her mouth moves when she talks, I mean, she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And again, she's someone mm-hmm. you have very little time with, mm-hmm. but she leaves a massive impression. So I think things are going great.
Yeah. I mean, she's obviously so tortured, but knows she has no recourse. She's
knows that she knows
my husband's
the truth.
My husband's the one that's keeping me in here, and nope, never found the baby. Nope. But here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to rot here.
Can't do anything about it, but this is the truth, and no one's going to tell me otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, Dr. Goldman.
Oh, Doug.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
I love when they find spoilers. Yeah. I love when they find the son.
Yes.
Who at first I thought might be their son, honestly, because you see him. I'm pretty sure it's him when she's backing out
leaving
the alleyway.
That's the second time they see him. The first time is when they're leaving
the eugenics.
The doctors. Yeah, the guy with the letter opener.
Yes.
They're leaving his office and Mulder's going through his phone. The janitor bumps them.
Yes.
And they do this look. And then when he shows, and even then I was like, oh, wait, that was a very knowing or.
Right.
That was more than just a like, you know.
Oops.
Yeah. And then, yes, when she's about to drive away and he runs and kind of bumps into the front of the hood and he just shakes his head. There was a moment I was like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well,
because he could have been about the, he would have been 15. Like he should be.
He should be about 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time we see this high-pitched squealing really in someone's mind is when Mulder is affected by the ship that they find in the original series, season 7-ish, 7-8.
There were a lot of ships.
I'm sorry. The one that they find in Africa that has the writings of everything on it. The genetic makeup of man and all the Bible.
Wow.
Just like everything. So it's the first time you really see this high-pitched squealing, which is very much related to having some sort of alien some sort of genetic
ability to communicate,
or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know yet what it is. We don't know when the scientist is having the problem, and then when Mulder has the problem,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what's causing it yet.
Yeah.
So I kind of did think, is that their son?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why Mulder's affected now?
And
because
not her.
Yes,
interesting. Or does in later when they do find this this kid. His name mm-hmm. is Kyle. His adoptive mother found him on the side of the road and mm-hmm. took him home. They were kind of vague about that, but
yeah.
So they were able to meet Kyle and talk to him. And Kyle was like, no, he was helping me and I was trying to help him. And, you know, I didn't mean to hurt him. It wasn't my intent. It's like, oh,
poor little dude. Who's so cute.
Yes.
So cute. Yeah. And again, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of heartbreaking, mm-hmm. especially when you go back to the doctor who mm-hmm. who's obviously doing horrible things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not helping these kids, and maybe he's trying to find an answer for these genetic mutations. Maybe the genetic mutations come from experimenting with alien DNA. We don't really know mm-hmm. how that all fits together, but we do know that he's cold, and we know that he's not making lives better for these children and mm-hmm. helping them. Obviously, you know, Kyle's probably not the only one who has some sort of mm-hmm. ability.
Right.
And it's very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then to later find out that, you know, his sister is being held captive by his dad. And it was interesting because, like, the first time when you, okay, so Mulder and Scully pick up Kyle from the from his house and bring him to his dad, and they're going to do the testing. You don't know. Like, I didn't know instantly if Dr. Goldman knew that that was his son. But as he's drawing the blood and he's doing different things, and he's like, so what do you want? He's like, I want to see my sister. And he's like, okay. So he does a test, and he brings her to somebody him to somebody else, and, you know. He's like, that's not my sister.
Right. You don't know if the doctor believes it at mm-hmm. first, but actually, no, he believes it. He knows. Yeah. He completely knows. Mm-hmm. And then, when the kid knew that it wasn't his sister, right. I was like, oh, God, doctor, you're a horrible person, Dr. Yeah. Goldman. Like, way to try and lie to yourself. You're just bad on just all, and again, one episode.
Yeah.
So many minutes of airtime, and I know you are horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And I was really... He's a scientist. He's a doctor. He's going to have more of a clinical nature to him. I didn't know how far he'd go. Like, I really didn't know. Like, in this is his own flesh and blood.
Right.
And, you know, he's had his daughter, Molly, you know, held up there now for, we don't really know the exact amount of time that it spanned for them, but say 17 years, because they look about 17, 18, 19, whatever. Yeah. So he knows what he created with her, but he can't replicate the results with the other children. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to keep going. And it's like, when you think about that aspect of it, it's like, you are a monster.
Right. And I almost wish I knew more about him.
Right.
Because he is very interesting, and mm-hmm. He might be one of those characters where the only six episodes situation comes into play, which if this was a regular mm-hmm. season, which nowadays is still only 13 episodes, but you would kind of learn a little more about him and we get to see him flesh out a bit.
Right.
I mean, great for them for doing this with these tiny characters, but I was very, very happy about it. And again, spoiler, super happy when he died.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, but immediately before that, Kyle does find his sister. How crazy and exciting was that Wonder Twins moment?
Mm, yes.
Like the 30 seconds, like telekinesis, telepathy, like all that.
Yeah. No, that was great.
Oh my God. I get goosebumps thinking about them putting their hands on the glass and just communicating. And then, oh yeah, don't you dare turn on me. Mm-hmm. And like when she throws Scully. Like everything about that scene, it was just like, oh yeah,
it was great. It's going, it was perfectly crazy, timed, and like everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen for mm-hmm. your brain to take mm-hmm. it all in.
Yeah,
and it was great, and it really is, you know, the first kind of action-y scene they've had,
right?
You know, this season.
Yeah,
and it was great.
Yeah, oh, everything about it, I was like, and in a way, I do kind of like that they, you know, they have a truncated season because it does force them to like get to the point and get to the action part right away.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But we're still getting all the information, and it's still coming out mostly organically. And I do, I really just, I'm really enjoying it. I'm very excited.
I'm,
you know, then, and now that there's only going to be one episode a week for only four more weeks, I'm going to be a little sad.
I don't know how I'm going to deal. Honestly, I, you know, I've been watching The X-Files on Netflix and however else for so long that now having to wait, it's very much like when I got into Supernatural.
Right.
I caught up with Supernatural and then all of a sudden, like, my world came to a screeching halt.
Oh.
Because you have to wait
Right.
A week. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happened with us with Lost. It happened with us with like a bunch of other stuff. But, well, okay, I'm going to say the last big, big thing about this episode.
Okay.
The William dream or fantasy sequences. Okay, this was the first time I was like, all right, you know, I already went from like squirming, you know, total gore, to like, oh my God, that action was awesome, to, okay, can somebody just please pass me the Kleenex?
Right, and make it stop. Just the pain is too much. I totally cried about it. More so when Mulder was with him.
Like, that was just cruel and unusual. Because we know how tortured he was witnessing his sister being taken away like that.
And they did it perfectly. I mean, her fears that he turns into an alien, his fears, he gets taken away. I mean, they really did play it perfectly without being overly obvious. The sequences, the dream sequences were beautiful.
Yeah.
They were gorgeous.
Initially, like for like 5 seconds, a little confusing.
Right.
But then I started to notice like, oh wait, there's like kind of this, you know, blurred dream sequence frame around this particular scene. So,
you know, I mean, Mulder though, especially when he comes back in season 8, and she's pregnant and he does make the comment of, and this is after Dog is there, whatever, but he says, I don't know where I fit in. And he means that to her. She has a baby. She's pregnant. I mean, they're still only mostly sure at that point that it's his. Like, they don't, you know, they assume.
He's willing.
So
yeah.
He to say that he doesn't know where he fits in. And we don't know this whole time whether or not Mulder wanted to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
And now to know that he has thought about it and he's had these moments and he's, you know, him and his son mm-hmm. making rockets. Like,
I know.
And then it's just too much.
Oh my God. But then his son looking up at the sky and saying, I'm going to go up there someday. And then the next scene.
I know.
Floating away.
They did a really, really great job. The second episode really just knocked it out of the park for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm huge, huge applause for like conveying and evoking so much in such a span. So, so I'm excited. I don't know anything about the next coming episodes.
I will say, I think episode 3 is the episode that Kumail is supposed to be on.
I did
and
read
this
that.
Is a monster of the week, which does look super cute, super funny.
Good.
And I think these are the kinds of cases that are probably going to make them feel more comfortable with each other. So I'm very excited.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, good. Well, I'm really excited. We hope everybody who's listening has enjoyed these episodes as much as we have. Candy, any other thoughts?
No, that's it. Just real excited, and I can't believe I have to wait an entire week.
I know.
For another episode.
7 days. Well, technically we're recording this.
Right.
So 6 days.
Still, like, that's a long, long time.
And now that we've both figured out our DVR issues.
Oh, right.
Just in case. All right. So we're really excited. Again, please find us on iTunes at Mulder It's Us and an X File Podcast. Twitter at Mulder It's Us. And on Candy's website, Candy Presents. And let's see. Oh. Any feedback, thoughts, you know, hopes, dreams, wishes, tell us we're crazy,
right.
Tell us we're awesome. Email us at MulderIt'sUsPodcast@gmail.com and also follow Candy at Candy Presents on Twitter and myself at Jenny B Creative on Twitter. We're really excited. So 6 more days.
I can do it.
You can do it. You waited this long. You can
right?
do it.
I can totally do it.
Okay. So for the Mulder It's Us podcast, I've been Jen.
I've been Candy.
See you next week.